I have been here before and I love being here. I love the fact that you can all dance and my wife sends her love. She can't be here and I would love to dance right now in front of you all. But if I do, then my wife will put me in a lot of trouble. But I looked around during worship and thought, you guys can really dance. And so I'm really happy for that. I will just do a little bit of dancing before she turns on YouTube. Okay, should we clap together? This is my English dancing. You say I'm very conservative. But if you are a child here, can you do this? Oh! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A little bit of break dancing. I was a youth leader for many years, and the last time I did that in front of people, I cracked my phone. And so if you ever do that here, take your phone out of your pocket. Little lesson to learn. Okay, today we are going to talk, and there is a PowerPoint on the screen, and if we can put the first image up, we are going to talk about how to recharge in two steps. How to recharge in two steps. The next slide says, it takes two. I want to start by saying that there are some things in life that is not a one-step process. It takes two. There's a song, I'm not going to sing it, that says, it takes two to make the world go round. It takes two. Adam, at the start of the Bible, he realized he could not do it alone. He had to have Eve. It takes two. We live in a world where we want on our own to solve problems in order to get the gold and silver, as our prophet told us. We want to have the one step that on our own we go out and make things happen. And we don't like the idea of having to do two things. One thing is hard enough. I'm a guy, girls are different, but I can only do one thing at a time. And so the idea of having to do two things seems complicated. But just as jollof rice goes, you're all going to kill me now, with jerk chicken together, that is beauty. It sometimes takes two. I'm a Man United fan, and I can now say with confidence that it takes the World Cup and Messi to make completion. I'm a very sore, recovering Ronaldo fan. And as a newly converted Messi fan, it takes Messi and the World Cup to make the world go round. Sometimes it takes two. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. There are some problems where we need to not just do one thing, but we have to do two things. And together today, we're going to look at the two steps that Jesus took to recover from tiredness. You might think, Judah, why are you saying the word tired? Well, because you all were open through the night. And so you're tired. But, you know, even if you are not tired right now, at this year, at some point, you will be tired. And today I want to look at how do we recharge, recover, and how in two steps do we get to be where we're meant to be. We're going to read today, as it says on the screen, from John, the book of John, and we're going to read a portion of scripture, John chapter 4. Holy Spirit, I pray in this time together that you would work in our hearts, that you would reveal fresh revelation to us, and that you would do what only you can do. We thank you, Jesus, for this time. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Verse 2. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord heard of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. Woman, how can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." I'm just going to stop there a second before I carry on. We heard from a prophet earlier, and sometimes we can ask the question, what is the role of a prophet and what is the purpose of prophecy? I can tell you from here, the role of a prophet is to point people to Jesus. The role of prophecy is to help people see Jesus. This woman goes on to say, "I now know who you are, the Messiah." Prophecy, it helps people see Jesus more clearly. There's a lot of prophecy at the moment in the wider body of Christ that has nothing to do with anything. Prophecy that confuses people. Prophecy that sends people down dark alleys. Prophecy that is not healthy biblical prophecy. The role of a prophet is to lead people to Jesus. Amen? Amen. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see," verse 19, "that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when we will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I am who speak to you, am he. The disciples then rejoin Jesus. And just then, it says in verse 27, his disciples returned and were surprised to find Jesus talking with the woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have bought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The next slide, thank you. And the next slide. The first thing I want to say is that it's okay to be tired. It is okay to be tired. There are times in life where we can be tired. Lockdown was only 2 years ago, and yet for many people and many churches, there is a tiredness that for some people they have never broken through. You can be tired physically. You can be tired emotionally. You can be tired in your very soul. You can be tired on the inside. You can be dancing, clapping, and celebrating on the outside. And yet on the inside, you're tired, weary, worn out. In this story, we see that Jesus, God made human, Jesus fully God and yet fully human, Jesus himself was tired. He was tired, and that helps me understand something. It's okay to be tired. If Jesus was tired, then being tired is not weakness. Being tired and weary is okay. Jesus was tired. And we're going to go to the next slide. Today, there are 2 points I want to make, a two-step process to recovering from tiredness. And the first is that we see Jesus, first of all, it's written in text, the idea that Jesus was tired. That means Jesus, later on, when the disciples and John in particular was writing the story, John knew because Jesus had made it known that Jesus was tired. And then Jesus does something. Jesus sits down. Jesus sits down. I want to ask you a question. When you are tired, where do you sit down to relax? You know, most of the problems in our life is because we sit down to relax in the wrong place. You have to be careful when you are tired about where you stop and rest. Be intentional and choose carefully at the start of the year how and where you are going to sit down and rest. When you sit down, you are letting your guard down. When you sit down, you are relaxing, and suddenly the enemy can get in, and we have to be very careful about where we sit down to rest. For you, as you talk with the Holy Spirit and you are in relationship with the people around you, you might know that for you, sitting down and resting by watching Netflix is going to be restful. But for someone else, watching Netflix is the wrong thing to do because you have an addictive personality and one episode turns into three seasons of a box set because you can't turn it off and think to yourself, just one more episode. What is rest for you? Where do you go and where do you sit in order to rest, to refill your tank? Jesus sat down. He did something practical. He sat and he sat by a well, a place that would refresh him in the natural. And I want you to know that it's important to plan ahead, be strategic, and know, how am I going to rest? You might say, Judah, I'm full of energy. I can't wait for 2023. I just want to crack on and do my master's, go back to school and finish my studies. I want to get a promotion at work. I don't have time for rest. But we have to understand that God commands us to rest. When you become a Christian, the first thing you do is you enter into a place of rest, which is trusting that Jesus died on the cross. On the cross, the price was paid, the job is done, and now you rest in the truth that you are loved unconditionally, that you have a Savior who died on the cross. The whole Christian journey is lived out from a place of rest. At the start in the garden, when the creation story happens, God, he rested. And on the first day every week, we are called to rest, to work from a place of rest. And we have to realize that rest is important. We have to establish patterns of rest in order to be fruitful. Where do we stop and rest? Maybe for you, you're someone who likes to go for walks. Then this year, plan lots of nice walks with your family. For you, maybe it's cooking food, and cooking food could be for you restful. But today, this week, this year, be intentional and begin to figure out, what does it look like for you to sit down and stop and rest? Rest is important. We rest naturally and we rest spiritually. The way we rest spiritually is by stopping striving, letting go, and trusting that God is in control, that he died on the cross in the person of Jesus, and that right now you are holy. That's who you are. Resting is coming back to understanding who you are. Colossians 3 verse 12 says this: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And then it says, clothe yourself, etc. You know, when we rest, we can come back to the simplicity of knowing that right now, you are holy. You are holy and you are loved and you have been chosen by God Almighty. And when we rest spiritually, we come back to the place of knowing that before you do anything, you are called firstly to be, to know that you are holy. And that means that you are set apart, you are free from the world, and you are in connection, wholly connected to God Almighty. Number one, Jesus sat down. What does rest look like for you this year? People say to me, Judah, this year I want to focus on everything I can achieve. I want to be successful. Can I suggest to you that fruitfulness will multiply and increase if you first establish healthy patterns of rest? It's incredible that when you rest well, you are far more fruitful in your time of work. Figure out what does rest look like. So often people rest by cooking, walking, watching Netflix, coming back to an understanding of who we are in Christ, that we're holy and loved. And yet, on its own, rest that I've just described is only half the picture. It will only recharge you to a certain point. And today, I want to look at the second part of recharging and look at how Jesus regained his energy. Number one, he sat down and he rested. But then, as we read in the story, number two, we see the other part of the puzzle, the other part of the jigsaw puzzle. There's part one and part two, and we're going to look at part two. How did Jesus regain his energy? How did he recharge? It says this in verse 34. Jesus explained something to the disciples. The disciples, they'd been getting fish and chips in the village, and they had been away from Jesus while he'd been talking to the woman at the well. Jesus talked to the woman at the well, and today we're not focused on the woman at the well, we're focused on Jesus. But when the disciples came back with their fish and chips from the village, they could visibly see that Jesus was recharged. And so they said, "Jesus, why and how have you got recharged?" And Jesus says this, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God." He didn't say, "I'm recharged from thinking." He didn't say, "I'm recharged from praying." He said, "I'm recharged from doing." What was he doing? The will of God. He then goes on to describe what the will of God is. The will of God is loving and leading people to Jesus. For Jesus, it was to love and lead people to himself. Doing the action of stepping out and sending a WhatsApp message to your work colleague saying, "I'm so sorry about your illness, I will pray for you." The action of doing will recharge you. So often we think, we pray, but we never do. The Nike advert says, "Just do it." There are so many Christians today that are tired and they think, "Well, I'm rested. I'm rested because I've been in the Word. I'm rested because I've been for a walk and cooked some nice food. And yet, why am I still tired? Why on the inside do I feel so weary? Why do I not even want to go to church today? Why do I feel weary?" It's because there is a nourishment that comes when we do. So often we avoid the action. My wife and I, we do a lot of evangelism, and sometimes we teach on Bible schools and we teach and equip people to do evangelism. And sometimes people will come up to Rachel and I and say, "I'm so sorry, I can't come out onto the streets with you because my cat has just got some fleas, or the washing machine is playing up and so I need to go home." We have heard every excuse as to why someone shouldn't come out onto the street to do the will of God. We avoid it. We think, "I just want to pray." Praying is powerful. But there came a point when the apostles had to step out onto the street and Peter had to open his mouth and do the word. Open his mouth and speak out on the streets in public to the people passing by. There comes a point when we have to take action. There have been many times where I have gone out onto Bold Street in the middle of Liverpool and I've been tired. weary from the burdens and pressures of being a pastor. And as glamorous as this looks, the truth is that being a pastor means that we get tired and we get weary. And there have been times when I've gone out onto Bold Street on a Wednesday and I've taken some sandwiches and some drinks and I haven't wanted to be there. And I've woken up thinking, oh, today I've agreed to do an evangelism on the street. And I don't want to. I'm tired. I'm weary. And I know I'm meant to be a pastor, but I'm just being honest. I'd rather just stay in bed. I'd rather just have coffee with some friends and just chat and we'll pray together. But actually going onto the street, I don't want to do that. And yet I've gone onto the street hundreds and hundreds of times. And every time, the minute someone passes by and I say to them, hey, would you like a drink? And they stop and I give them a drink and they say, who are you? Why are you doing this? And I say, I just want you to know God loves you. To look into the eyes of broken, lost people and say, God loves you. In that moment, there is an energy that rises up within me. There is a nourishment that comes from doing the gospel, from doing the will of God. If you today are saying, Judah, I've rested well over Christmas, but yet I'm still tired on the inside, then maybe it's time to not just do step one, but to combine step one and step two. Sometimes we have to realize that together, the process of sitting and resting, but then doing the work that you have been sent to Liverpool to do, it's in the doing that you will get nourished. Amen? Think, how can I do the will of God this year? The will of God is simple, loving people. And as you love them, lead them to Jesus. How can you do that this year? Maybe it's making food for your neighbor that is not well. And when they ask why, to say, I just want you to know, God loves you. It doesn't have to be complicated. It could be that when you are at the school gate with your children, you take the time to stop and listen to the person that no one else gives any time to. And as you listen, you are allowing the presence of God to begin to move in that person's life. We're called to love and lead people to Jesus one step at a time. And I have had people coming up to me on the street, mad, shouting at me. I've had people shouting in my face on Bold Street or just in town, saying, I'm so angry. And I say, why are you angry? And they say, because the person outside Primark has just told me I'm a sinner on my way to hell and I can't handle that. And what do I do in that moment? I stop and I say, can I make you a drink? Can I make you a cup of tea? And tell me, how are you doing? And taking the time to just listen to people. I recently held a person's hand who was shouting and angry at me. I held his hand and I listened to him. And then I said, even though he was an atheist and he was angry, and I said, when I'd listened to him, can I pray for you? And he said, okay. And together we prayed and I was able to release God's presence into his life. He didn't become a Christian, but I helped him take another step. But more than what I was able to do with him was the fact that on the inside, I was being nourished, refueled, refreshed, and energized. And I was able to move forward more rested than ever before. Recharge in two steps. Re-energized in two steps. One, rest. What does that look like for you? Where are you going to sit this year and rest? Number two, we are called to do the work of God. And it's in the doing that we see incredible fruit. The woman at the well, she was what's known as in everyday language, a sinner. Some people will say that it was her fault. Some people will say that she was mistreated. However you look at it, the point of this story is that she represents every one of us. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. And in the word of knowledge that Jesus gives to the woman, he helps her see her need for a savior. And then he says, I am the savior for you and the world. And he offers her real hope, not just physical water, but eternal life. And he says, this well, it will nourish you for so long, but then you'll be weary and tired again. But if you trust in me, then you will have eternal life. And you can be free from your past and sin, and you can know everlasting life. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. And I pray for every one of us that at the start of this year, that you would lead us and help us to put in place in our lives patterns of rest, whatever that looks like. If we do not have a day off each week, I pray that you would convict us and that we would have a day off each week. But in that time, we wouldn't waste it. God, I pray that if for some of us we waste time on Instagram reels or whatever, and we're not intentional and we don't plan well, I pray you'd help us to plan our times of rest, that when we sit down, it would be in a place of holiness where we are truly able to rest and be nourished, that it wouldn't be time that's unhealthy or unwise. But God, I pray secondly that you would help us to be truly nourished on the inside, because we learn what it is to do the will of God. That we would learn what it is to love and lead people to Jesus, even if it just begins with smiling at our neighbor. That small, simple steps of opening up and loving others would lead to us being nourished on the inside and truly recharged and refreshed. I just want to finish by saying this. Sometimes we think that going out on Bold Street, well, that sounds great, but that's what you do when you're like really, really healthy and you're on top of the world, and maybe in 2024 when life's good and my business is sorted and I've got my master's and education's doing well, then I will go and love and lead people to Jesus. But we see something in this story. Jesus was still tired. He was still sat down, and in his tiredness, he reached out, opened his heart, and loved someone and led them to himself. You don't need to wait. You don't need to wait until you're doing well and life's good and you've got your £1 million in the bank and your two houses and you've got your ISA and your pension and your kids are in university and life's going well. No, even in your tiredness, even in your mess, even in your problems, even if you feel disqualified, you can still rest. And in the place of rest, you can reach out, love, and lead people to Jesus. Amen.